You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
What is going on, American Desi's family? This is Arjun.
And I'm Akash.
How is everyone? Hope you guys are finding your lives well today. We are going to be discussing Prashant's episode, which we dropped on Monday. But before we do, we got a couple really important feedback about the Neil Nanda interviews and our discussion that I wanted to start off with because I think it's important. One is from, I want to give shouts to Audio Boom. As always, thank you for being our partners. I wanted to give a shout to Diana, who wrote to us after the Neil Nanda's episodes and said that a good idea would be a resource for listeners. And she provided a couple. Manavi is a women's rights organization committed to ending violence and exploitation committed against South Asian women living in the U.S. The organization provides direct service to survivors of violence, grassroots organizations aimed at changing communities and awareness programs. And then My3 is a free 501c3 nonprofit organization helping South Asian women in situations of domestic abuse, cultural displacement, or unresolved conflict based in the Bay Area. So that's based in the Bay Area. But please, if you know anybody or if you yourself are experiencing some issues, please reach out to these organizations. We will tweet about them. The other one I wanted to bring back is Pallavi Dhawan, who was a guest on our old Indian Desis, Indian American, forgive me, podcast. And forgive me, I'm just pulling it up. I'm reading in her voice. Okay, so I'm reading for her. I'm a prosecutor who handles domestic violence and child abuse cases. I've trained domestic violence victim advocates. I've been involved in the passage of legislation expanding the scope of protective orders for child abuse victims. This is her statement. Why did he do it, and why did she stay? Having prosecuted domestic violence and child abuse cases exclusively over the last 3 years, I can now say with certainty that there is no single answer to the second question, why did she stay? And no answer at all to the first that will make any difference to the victim. He was mad, he was drunk, he was tired, he was fill in the blank. The reasons behind the second inquiry are complex, shifting, and vary from family to family. And Neil Nanda listed a few for the sake of the children, for financial reasons, because he stopped, because he was sorry. I do know that the act of leaving, though a simple solution to prescribe from the outside, is never easy. Victims of domestic abuse are most at risk when they leave. But not leaving takes a toll that cannot be measured. It is no surprise to me that Nanda's worst scars are the ones seared into his memory from witnessing his mother and sister abused, not the scars he bears on his body. The law in California thankfully includes mental suffering as a category of child abuse, but the law can only help the visible victims who step out of the shadow of shame and guilt and stand up for their rights and the rights of their children to remain safe in their own homes. I understand the dynamics are complex. I understand why Nanda's mother stayed. I hope he is right when she says the abuse has stopped, because as we know, domestic violence usually happens behind closed doors and is seldom reported. It transcends cultural, religious, gender, and racial lines. Indian culture presents its own set of hurdles to reporting and prosecuting. We have to speak out, not just the victim on his slash her own behalf, but the bystanders who know what is going on and yet turn the other way. The teacher who sees the brood's child come to school day after day but doesn't bother to ask the question. The therapist who is obligated by law to speak. The friend, the uncle, the auntie, or the cousin. Please speak up. Say it loud. The silence, the stories we create to hide the abuse do not serve anyone. Share resources. Call the police. Sahara, an organization for South Asian survivors of domestic violence, is one powerful resource that can be accessed online or by phone. That's saharaorg.org or 1-888-SAHARA-2. Arjun and Akash said it best. We have to be better. The fact that Nanda's white friends said his father should be in jail, but his Indian ones mostly shrugged off the abuse, tells me that we have a long way to go. The misreading of cultural norms that enable already abusive Indian men to justify their violent actions as within their rights as husband and fathers does not mesh with the India I know and love. That sort of justification is its own form of violence, a cultural beating that we should reject before it lands us bruised and broken as a community. I want to just thank Pallavi for that statement, and I mean, I truly don't have anything to add. I mean, I think that was very beautifully put.
Yeah, I think she said it best. Thank you for that. And
it's that weird moment where we're going to try to transition to Prashant.
I wanted to end with that, and then Arjun was like, "No, no, no, we have to begin with it." And I was like, "All right, man." You know what I mean?
Listen, we know that we have our most listeners at the beginning, and that was important. But we are going to move to Prashant because we had a really fun time.
How about those jokes, huh? Someone I was talking about Ratchet, you know? Well, stop. Let me not cuss too much. But,
Listen, it was really fun talking to Prashant, and in honor of the fact that we just had a really informal conversation with him that was very little planning for us, we decided to honor that by doing that for the discussion episode where Akash and I haven't really prepped.
It's about honor, not laziness, guys. It's all about honor.
It's all about honor. See how I like to frame that? You see how I spun that?
It's good. It's good.
That was fun. I had a good
time.
It was
great, man. And that's basically, I said this, Prashant and I will just call each other and just have talks like that all the time. And that's why I was like, we need to just get him on the podcast.
Yeah. Was there anything that really stuck to you? Because there were a couple things that really I've been thinking about a lot this week.
No, because I think these are things that he and I end up talking about all the time. So I didn't necessarily have any like new thoughts about it. I'm curious to know what you thought. I wanted to bring you, I know you guys like have met a couple times and always got along really well, but I wanted to bring you into that discussion that we usually have, and that's why I was interested to see that dynamic.
Well, one, it was just fun, I think, all of us sharing. I think let's acknowledge that it was really fun to demystify Akash. You know what I mean?
Sure,
it was just
fun
to let everybody know. I always enjoy doing that. I think, you know, one thing I actually thought about was when we were talking about vulnerability, and he was saying that every problem I've ever had
has
been solved if I had been vulnerable sooner. And it's so interesting because it's striking that it happened this week, but I hadn't, you know, I'm working with new people, I'm in a new space, and people, I don't know if everyone knows this, but on a film set, there are about 200 people working with you every day, and day in, day out, and you're working like 13-hour days, and it's weird. It's a weird thing working on a film set. And there, you know, there are people that I have some struggle with at times, and it was interesting that me and this person finally had a chat yesterday, and afterwards, and it was like as soon as we like aired out the thing, it very clean, and like I can look at this person and I have a lot of love for this person now. And it was so funny because I was like, wow, all of this stuff that I was holding on to, if I just 3-4 whatever whenever a few weeks ago just been like, hey, this is how it's making me feel, it would have just dissipated immediately rather than like becoming this thing in my head. And in that person's head. We both had that, you know.
You never
know
how someone else feels until you talk to them. You can assume you know, but you never really know until you talk to them.
No, so true. And it's funny because I've been, you know, an acting teacher of mine, and we were talking about something called jackal language. Have you heard of this at all?
No, but I know you're going to explain it really long-windedly, so go ahead.
Oh, my God. I'm going to do it really short now. He was used the example of...
That's what I do. I'm trying to correct their behavior through making fun of you. That's how I love.
So he used the example. He was talking about, like, when you get into an accident, right? Or when you get nearly cut off or something, and that rage comes up, and you're like, hey, man, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck were you thinking, man? Didn't you see me there? Like, and that's where you go to. But really, he was saying, like, what's underneath that is the, oh, my God, holy shit, that's, you scared me. I thought I was going to get injured. I thought I was going to lose my life. Can you be more careful? Because that terrified me.
Right.
And the thing is, when we go to the, man, what the fuck? You were wrong. You were wrong. Didn't you see me there? I was right. I was doing the right thing. It immediately puts that other person on the defense. And it immediately makes them come back at
the situation.
What?
That escalates the situation.
Exactly. But it requires a vulnerability to say, hey, you really scared me.
Hey, real quick, you know where I read something very similar?
Please.
Negotiation Genius.
Oh, tell me.
I mean, he just talked about how him and his friends were playing pool, and then this other pool table, like, just suddenly started a fight, and they thought that these guys, them, like, the writer, they thought he had caused them to, like, he thought they ruined their pool game somehow, got them confused with some other brown people, I'm assuming, and...
The other table started a fight with them.
Yeah, and instead of escalating, the guy was just like, listen, what are you mad about? And they were, what do you want out of this? And they were like, we just want a new pool game. So the guy pulled out, he said, how much does it cost to play another game of pool? The guy said $1. He just pulled out $1 and he's like, are we good now? And then everything de-escalated.
Right.
But instead of jumping and getting defensive, when they yelled at you, you have to get underneath it.
And that, yes. And the interesting thing, and I think that's a beautiful thing, is to like, to really assess and be able to do, now, first of all, that takes, let's applaud the calmness, right? The facility of mind to not be so reactive, right? I think that's a big part of when I talk about meditation and what I'm vulnerability, right? It's really about not being reactive to our patterns. You know, we're still biologically animals.
Yeah.
So if we, you know, the fight or flight is very, very quick in us. But if we're talking about evolving past that, if we're talking about part of being part of like this higher consciousness, we have to like be able to evolve past those impulses. And so I think that having meditation, what meditation allows me to do is to be less reactive to my initial impulses.
No, that's the thing. I've heard meditation, the exact term, it teaches you to respond instead of react.
Ooh.
Which is huge, because I'd be reacting, boy. Yeah. I'd be reacting.
But all of us do. I mean, because all of us do, because that's part of the human nature. You know, we were not born in, like, I mean, our species was not born into buildings and safety of this kind. You know what I mean? We were living in caves where, right. Like, a mastodon could eat you. Yeah. I don't know if they eat people. And my point is this. That's cool. It's even more vulnerable if you're the one that's angry to be able to say, I'm scared. You know what I mean? To tap into what's underneath your own anger, right? He was the outside person saying, hey, what are you mad about, right? Now, if I'm mad, for me, instead of being like, hey, you're wrong, saying, hey, that makes me really uncomfortable when you do this. And it sets off my defenses.
It's hard to be vulnerable, though, because of fear.
What is the fear?
I mean,
what's
you're really,
fear,
you're, I mean, when you're a kid and you make yourself vulnerable, everybody's like, look at you. You're
right. Gay. Yeah, no, and listen, I'm not, I agree. I mean,
it's still there, especially as a dude. Sure. Like, it's just a hard thing to do.
I know, for sure. For sure. And I think that, I guess when I say what is the fear is, I'm trying to say that, like, that fear is no, we're not children anymore. You know, part of what means to be an adult is that we don't have to be, we don't have to be chained to those kind of weaknesses. That's not the right word.
Hey, man, just don't be afraid. I tried to read Swami Vivekananda, and a lot of it was super dense, and I couldn't understand any of it. But
right.
I saw a quote that I actually have on my phone now. Be
uh-huh.
afraid of nothing. Be afraid
uh-huh.
of, sorry, be not afraid of anything. You will do marvelous work. The moment you fear, you are nobody. Be a hero. Always say, I have no fear. Tell this to everybody. Have no fear. Because fear, at the end of the day, is really 99% of what holds us back, and it's a useless thing.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, I've talked about fear a lot in therapy, and one thing that my therapist once said to me was, which has stuck with me forever, has been this. Fear is false expectations appearing real. They're just false expectations that we've created that appear real, but they're not real.
Yeah, you're right, man. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's so helpful, though. But it's helpful to, like, we give so much power to our fear, right? Because here's the thing. Fear is just a feeling, just like happiness, just like sadness, just like any other feeling that we have. But we give so much power to fear.
It's completely illogical. You're afraid of something that hasn't happened yet.
You're afraid of something that hasn't happened. And it's not illogical, though. Don't wait. Hold on a second. It's coming from a place of protection, right? Fear is not bad. I'm not trying to now say fear is bad. I'm just saying we need to be more skillful in the way that we handle fear. Because sometimes fear is really useful. If I hear gunshots, I get scared, I run away. That's useful fear, right? But if I'm afraid that if I tell someone I like them, that I'm then, like, going to die, that's not useful fear. Which is a fear I used to have, you know what I mean? Like, that's a vulnerable thing, to be able to tell someone how I feel. And the other thing that, I mean, it's one thing is we got to say, like, don't be afraid and, like,
guys, let me tell you something. Getting rejected ain't that bad. I've gotten used to it pretty quickly. I'm out here catching these curves like it's baseball practice. I will literally keep hitting on you like I didn't even realize it happened.
You know what I mean? It's true, man. It's true. You don't know, but Akash and I really plan how we're going to talk to women. This is embarrassing, but we do. I guess if we're going to talk about vulnerability, I should probably be vulnerable.
I send copies of text messages, like proofs of text messages to friends, and like, how does this look before I holler at somebody?
But he's been very good at, like, she said no, or she didn't respond. Wait a little while.
Send it again, bro. Yeah, just wait. Wait, act like nothing happened. A couple weeks later, holler again. You know what I mean? That's what you got to do.
But it's so funny, though, because what I want to say is this. Is you said that when we're kids, this is the biggest thing, that, right? I've been learning. This has been my biggest feeling of growth over the last, like, 8 months, I would say, is something happened to me. I'm a perfectionist, okay? I have perfectionist. I'm sorry. I need to rephrase that. Perfectionism is a part of me. And I'll get to why I rephrase that in a second. But I realized in January I had been identifying myself with perfectionism. I was doing that. I am a perfectionist. When I was then realized in meditation class and actually through therapy that perfectionism is a defense of mine. It's not a part of my identity. And when I was able to separate myself from that, I realized, oh my God, that's been a defense of mine, because when I was younger, I didn't feel strong enough to handle the uncertainty of life. So I felt like if I was perfect, good things would happen. Now I'm strong enough through just growing up, through the work I've done on self-love, all of that kind of stuff, that I don't need those defenses anymore. And it's been the most powerful thing to be able to say to, when perfectionism comes up, to literally have a conversation with it and be like, yo, I thank you. You defended me when I was a kid. But now I'm not a kid anymore. And you can retire. And it allows me to be so much more open and so much more vulnerable at times. But what he said really stuck with me, obviously. As we had 15 conversations.
Obviously, you still were going.
I mean, listen, it's still me. I'm still verbose. Like, step in quicker, dude.
I mean, like, it's much nicer for me to just make fun of you afterward than to cut you off.
Fair enough.
That's my gentle love.
The other thing that I thought about, and we want to move along, is the, because we want to get to community relatively soon, was the entrepreneur versus artist thing.
Yeah.
And I thought a lot, and I agree that
the disagreement also that you and I have had a lot. I always say this to you. You want show business to just be show.
Yeah.
I said the exact thing to you.
Right. And I think it's because I don't believe show business is about artistry. It's a business. I get it, but I'm in conflict with that. I think that there are the word entrepreneur is changing, and I liked what he said about value, right? I just think that I like that, but I still think that there's a difference. I still think that there's a strong difference between the two.
Okay.
That's all. I don't know. Should I get into why or no?
I mean, it depends on how quickly you can do this.
I'm going to say probably not very quickly. Should we move on to community?
Yeah, let's move on to community.
Do we have community stuff to talk about?
Yeah, community got pretty involved. Ramia1 at Twitter said, "Artists as entrepreneurs is something I didn't even think of until I started following YouTube creators. Also, artists as activists, perhaps Arjun Gupta BK meant that good slash memorable artists have something to say." You know what is crazy is artists as entrepreneurs with YouTube, like, these guys really are their own boss. It's impressive. They don't have to really answer to anybody. I work with a lot of these YouTube stars on Wild and Out. Tim De La Ghetto was on an episode of Indian American. And, Doug, they really are their own businessmen. And they're not answering to, like, a CBS the way we are. If they say something that's inappropriate, they can lose 200,000 Twitter followers, but they're not getting fired.
Right.
You know? And it's a really cool thing that they are their own boss.
I'm sorry. I'm going to strongly disagree with the idea that a lot of these YouTube creators are artists. I'm sorry. I'm just going to go ahead and do that real quick.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to disagree with you. But, I mean, it's not... here's what I will say. I work with a lot of these guys on Wildin' Out, and they're talented. But then I watch a lot of... nobody in particular, but I'll just watch a lot of online content, and I'll just be like, wow, the bar for quality is disgustingly low.
The bar for quality is low. I mean, all we care is about stimulation and quick stimulation. That's the thing, right? We want stimulation for 30 seconds, and then we want a different stimulation for a different 30 seconds. That's why we scroll through our tweets, right?
Bro, some of these YouTube videos are 8-9 minutes of garbage, and people love it. Kids,
sure, but
kids
most
have
of them,
horrible taste.
But most, right, because what are they exposed to? All they're being exposed to.
I liked Beavis and Butthead as a kid. I went back and rewatched it a few years later. I was like, this is the biggest piece of trash I've ever seen in my life.
But you've been exposed to many things since then, bruv.
But that's what I'm saying. Kids in general aren't exposed. Not these kids.
But if you expose kids to different things, maybe their tastes will evolve.
Yeah, well, I got to expose a 15-year-old to War and Peace.
No, I mean, I think there's a middle ground, dog, between Beavis and Butthead and War and Peace, bro.
But I'm saying kids are interested in what they're interested in. You can't force a kid to,
no,
like...
No, but you can encourage. Like, I read a lot as a kid. I didn't read War and Peace, but I read...
Is that why you talk so damn much now?
Yeah, boy.
All the long books as a kid. You know how I was reading as a kid? Cat in the Hat. We got right to that point.
Listen, first of all, Dr. Seuss to me is the genius. So I think he is high art of all high arts. I love him. He's brilliant. But actually, I was reading a lot of Amar Chitrakutta as comic books. I read a lot of classics as comics, I'll be honest. So that was a form of way that my parents gave me abridged versions of classics through a medium that I was interested in, which was comic books. And I read them. Because it was in a form, and it's a good story. Here's the thing we forget about these classics. They are good stories, right? So you get them involved with the story, and then, yeah, sure, I missed the language, and I didn't start to appreciate that until I was older, but I didn't need to. I was still exposed to that when I was a kid. So I think there is ways of exposing kids to, like, kids are interested in what they're interested in, also based on what we put in front of them. Like, I know kids, my friend's niece is only being, like, she's only allowed to watch, like, Caillou, which is that this Netflix Canadian, I don't know what it is, but it's like some kids show, but she doesn't know Tom and Jerry, know anything like that, and she's interested in that kind of stuff because that's what's put in front of her. You know what I mean? Let's not give kids that much power.
Okay.
What else did Ramya have to say? I feel like she said a lot of stuff.
No, those are the only two tweets, and then we got a lot of tweets from Ms. Shanaz, live tweeting the whole thing. She said she was recently vulnerable in a situation, and it worked out well. So, keep that in mind, listeners. She said, "I was right about women having a biological clock. Guys, I'm always right. I'm going to always read the tweets where you say I'm right, but let's just go ahead and acknowledge that I'm always right." Kimberly Brown complimented us a lot. We appreciate it. I'm not going to read the compliments because that makes me uncomfortable. and
she
Arjun will probably want to read them.
She called you sexy. Yeah. I referenced how she called you sexy. That's
It made me uncomfortable. Notice I am uncomfortable with it, and you love it when people call you sexy.
I mean, I just, like, why not? Why should we be shy about that? That's a really beautiful thing someone thinks about one of us.
And that's great. Let them think what they want to think. You know?
And I'm just going to say thank you is all I'm going to say. I'm going to take it in and just feel good about myself for a second.
You're going to say thank you to the podcast and you talk to me about it, and we're going to see who you really are. All right. Monster.
All right.
Someone wrote a comment on the website about Sharanani. This is a little older, but they're catching up. She said, "This is so true no matter where we live. We Indians should always value our culture. We should take pride of our rich heritage and culture. Our mothers and fathers are our first teachers. They have come so far and have so much experience, and we should learn from their experience."
Yes. Amen.
I actually don't know if that was a guy or a girl. I'm just looking at the email notification. So if that's a guy, sorry, I said she. But, hey, man, I appreciate you catching up, and you're completely right.
I mean, it's just, I think that's one of the most beautiful things about our culture. And I think that's one of the biggest things that's in conflict with the West is respecting your elders. Because the West is so all about appreciating youth. You know, everyone's, and I've always thought that, I mean, you know the Kiss Begins with K commercials?
Yeah.
They have every kiss begins with K. So at the end of every commercial, it's always a kiss. And it's all a kiss on the lips. But all of a sudden, I saw one that was elderly people, and it was kiss on a cheek. And I know what you're going to say, like, who wants to see old people kissing on the lips?
Nah, I love that. I love old people kissing on the lips. I like old people getting it on.
There you go. I'm saying there's, like, it's an interesting way that we just don't. We, like, being old is disgusting in the States.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's weird. We should hold them up. We should revere them. I really only like kids and the elderly people. Everybody else I pretty much hate.
I mean, I kind of agree, man. I'm with you.
You're all stupid. You're all idiots. You don't know anything.
I'm going to jump on board. Y'all suck.
You got no wisdom.
We are part of the y'all. We are part of the y'all because we're in that mid-range also.
No,
oh, you're going to disagree with that?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and separate myself from them. You know. Before we sign off, I want to say what I think is the biggest difference between the West and the East. And this is what makes the West so intoxicating to me as an idea is... do what makes you happy. I think we might have talked about this, but that's the entire mindset of the West, in America in particular, is do what makes you happy. That sounds so amazing. Whereas in India, it is do your duty. Think about how diametrically opposed those are sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Here,
mm-hmm.
you can completely shirk your duty if you're doing what makes you happy. We mm-hmm. can say Kim Kardashian is a good mother, even though she does X, Y, and Z. Because she's doing what makes her happy, and that's a great example for your kids. Whereas in India, it's like, yo, once you have kids, your duty is to raise your kids. Your life is over, for all intents and purposes. You're not doing what makes you happy anymore. You're doing what's best for your kids. And I think that's the biggest difference between the West and the East. And the reason the West is winning is because that's a way more intoxicating mindset that's easy to adopt, and there's no real friction with that. I'm going to do whatever makes me happy.
That's an interesting, yeah. I mean, that's definitely ripe for further discussion. I know we both have to sign off because both of us have jobs and both of us are killing the game right now. But I did want to say, I did want to acknowledge this. We've had some reaching out, and over the last several months, we've had people reaching out about some way of doing a live chat, like so that we can involve you guys on a more like actual way where we could like respond to you and actually have dialogue with you. It's something we're hearing. We're not ignoring. We're figuring out the technology. As brown as Akash and I are, we're not that brown.
Also, there's a solid chance we're going to be sitting there for 30 minutes waiting for two people to talk to us. You know what I mean? So maybe we just wait until we got more listeners, which will happen. I'm using the secret and power of attraction.
I think it'd be fun. I think it's something that for me, it's more of a technological obstacle. But there have been a couple people who have reached out to us about some options to look at.
Yeah, you two will be the only ones sitting there at the computer talking to us.
Sure. It's great. Let's do it. That's what we got today. I mean, it's short. It's sweet. We love you. I love you.
Hey, my brother, my bhaiya wants the ladies of American Daisies to know he's single. I was just texting him. I got to call him. He has a heart of gold, ladies.
Where is he at? Tell him where he's at.
He's in Dallas, Texas.
So ladies of Dallas, Fort Worth area.
Or abroad. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. If you're willing to come to Dallas or move him out. I just want to be an uncle. So at this point, marriage is honestly optional. If you're a woman who wants to have a kid, holler at my brother. You know what I mean?
Why don't you just have a kid? Why
I would love to. Listen, any of you ladies want to get impregnated, let me know.
Bruv. I feel you, man.
My emotional clock is ticking.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant. Good call. Well, we're going to drop back. We're going to come back at you all on Monday. We got more stuff for you coming out, more interviews and all that jazz. So we'll catch you in a couple days. Thank you for everyone that's been spreading the word and sharing and talking about us. We really do appreciate it. We really do believe that we are only as strong as our community, and we need your help in building that. So... continue to do that, please.
Rate the podcast, review the podcast, subscribe to the podcast. Y'all aren't doing it. You're all stupid idiots.
I was so positive. You couldn't let me end on the positive.
You have to have a good cop and a bad cop, man. And it's pretty obvious who's who.
All right. Like I said, we'll catch you guys in a couple days. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash. God bless.
God bless.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.